there's a lot of churches these days that are doing praise dancing. Groups of kids and groups of adult women are actually dancing to the Lord, and it's
And so the thing is, we shouldn't rush to judgment.
Right.
When we have biblical,
we
have biblical warrant for that. Now, just for the tape, I forgot to turn it on. Sorry about that. I've only just introduced a little summary from last week, and now we're starting Principle 7, which is the substance of our worship is always more important than the style or form of our worship. So, let me pick it up there, and I'll read a few quotes from Gary Perrett, one who wrote this particular course. Styles of worship versus the heart of worship. He says, I think this point should already have been clear to us by a reference to passages like Isaiah 1 and Amos chapter 5, etc. God is not very impressed by the outward actions of our worship. He is really looking to the heart. God is concerned more about the heart of worship, the substance of our worship, the heart of the worshiper, the content of our worship, than he is about the style or the particular format or approach of our worship. In fact, many of our worship styles are basically the expression of personal preferences, personal prejudices, or cultural and generational experiences and tendencies. All right. Now, I'm going to have you comment on that in a minute, but he goes on talking about style. It should be of. There's a typo there. Style of worship, not style or worship. Style of worship is secondary to the substance of worship. Again, to quote him, to my mind, which style we participate in, whether we see ourselves as contemporary or traditional or high liturgical or low liturgical, is secondary to whether or not the worship is substantive. Is the revelation from God in Jesus and in His Word clearly on display in that worship? And is there opportunity for the people of God in Jesus, in His Word, opportunity for the people to give faithful response. I have been pleased and privileged to worship in a number of environments, numerous different denominational settings, theological settings, worship styles, and also in multinational experiences. I have been overseas a number of times and been in a wide variety of cultural settings. Regardless of the setting, theological, traditional, cultural, that you are involved in, there are some things that shine through, and you know, as you experience it, that it is the heart of worship. All right, so do you agree or disagree with his assessment, and why? So, if I summarize, content of worship and a heart that responds to that content is what's substantive, what matters to God. The outward signs and expression is less important.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, what was it about David that God loved so much?
Yeah.
We hear over and over again, you know, how he, his feelings towards David.
Yeah, and I dare say, you don't figure it out that out by saying, well, David danced, so I'm going to dance. Mm-hmm. Well, you'd be missing the point, wouldn't you?
Right. I mean, and his psalms and stuff, he's so expressive.
Yeah. And what is it that about David that God loved? What is it?
Well, David loved God, and he wasn't afraid to show it.
Yes.
To anyone.
He loved God. He was a man after God's own heart. He loved what God loved, and he loved God, and he hated what God hated. And like when you bump into him as a young man facing Goliath, he's like, you've cursed, you've challenged the armies of the living God, you're the fool. You know, he thinks about it like God thinks about it. Don't you realize who you're cursing? Well, you just got yourself fighting with the God who created everything. You're the fool. Man after God's own heart. That's worship, you see. You know, he's reflecting the way things really are. He's reflecting God's heart. So it's not a matter of dancing or not dancing, but in his case, it was an emotional expression of his love for God, and that's okay. In fact, that's great. God's pleased with that.
He didn't do it all the time because he,
no.
He really expressed his love for God in so many different ways.
Yeah, so poetry and, you know, all the songs he wrote,
yeah.
And his actions, even fighting Goliath, and, right? And
yeah.
In a variety of ways, he expresses his love for God and his trust in God. Right? So, yeah, that's a good example.
Style needs to be respectful of cultural expectations.
Yeah.
Of that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how to say
yeah.
this at the same time, you know. And style, I mean, it still needs to be worshiping God and not, this is how good I sing, or this is
yeah.
how good I play an instrument. So it has, you know,
yeah.
and it can be tricky.
Yeah, because you can, the
yeah.
focus can become on the people or onto
right.
the dancers
right.
or whatever. Instead of
right.
it being God, it's, oh, well, how good do they
or,
dance?
Or, you know, this one wants to sing and this one wants to sing, but this one has been trained.
Right.
So do we just go to this one versus this one?
Yeah, and
you, know,
you want to teach everybody to serve. You know, everybody to have a servant's heart in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the every conflict with the kids at the house, you know. Well, I want you to serve you, and I want you to serve you. You know? And I'm, well, why are you always correcting me? Well, because you need correcting too, you know? But when I'm talking to your brother or sister, then I'm correcting them. But you always want the other one corrected. You know, you always get to sing because you got the good voice, and it's like, well, you just want to be, you know, want it to be you singing, and that's why you're mad. And, you know, you're both right. You know, so in other words, no, I want to serve, but I want to serve in any way that would bless people, right? That would bless them. Cultivating a servant's heart is far more important than the singing or not singing, right?
Mm-hmm.
The person that can sing or not sing is what we want. The person that is cheerfully giving or not giving. This or that service, you know? Yeah, that's a good example.
Well, God knows the heart. God knows all the hearts. And so when you have something, I 100% agree with what Katie said about being respectful of cultural situations and that type of thing. I suppose you could have a situation where somebody does something that sort of violates culture, and yet God sees their heart, and God may will also see the hearts of the people who, let's say, perhaps were offended by something that happened, understanding that the people who were offended also want the glory of God.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It may, I don't know how he works all that out, but he does. He's God.
Yeah. Well, let's sort of play this out a little bit, too. I mean, it's like when you're serving your own fellow people here at this church, you're serving somebody, you want to be thoughtful to them, you want to be caring to them. So that doesn't mean then a tyrant can come in here and command everybody to do whatever they want, you know, some boss everybody around, or, you know, there's love that corrects, and there's love that rebukes, and there's, you know, service is a challenging role. Serving is challenging to sort out what's the right move here. It's like the Apostle Paul, in one place he's saying, am I a man pleaser or am I a God pleaser? Well, I'm a God pleaser. I'm not a man pleaser, right? If I care about pleasing men, then why am I always being persecuted for this, right? In another place, he's saying, I'm all things to all people. Which is it, Paul? Are you all things to all people? Or are you just a God pleaser, not a man pleaser? You know, and that's the sort of tension we're living in right here with this discussion. Is that when you talk about cultural sensitivity, I think if we just bring that down to ordinary language, it's like you care about the people you're worshiping with. You look around and say, would this serve them? Would this facilitate worship here? And it's not a simple one-dimensional question, because sometimes that means doing what's expected, and sometimes that means doing what's unexpected. Right? Sometimes you need a little rattling up, and sometimes we need to not get the old familiar thing out and do that again, which is a perfectly great thing to do. you know?
And an interesting situation happened quite a few years ago with a friend of mine who we used to play music out all the time, wanted to play music here. But
yeah.
I said, you know, I said, well, have you ever attended a service here? And that wasn't an issue. She just wanted to play. So I said, well, why don't you come and attend a service first?
Yeah. Yeah.
And she didn't
want
to do that.
It was just
to play.
Yeah, she just loved to play.
So.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know if that opportunity will ever come up again, but, you know, we could pray about it. And say, if we were open with her and said, look, we know you just want to come and play, but I just want to be honest with you, we're hoping you hear what you hear the message when you come. You know, and maybe on occasion, I wouldn't be averse to that necessarily. But do you see the thinking is wrong on her part?
Right.
But as an occasion, to say, look, we'll just be open and honest with you too. We don't think that's, you know, we love that, you know, we share a common ground that we love music. We love music, and so we'd love to hear your music. But that's not really what we're about on Sundays. But we'll do a little trade. You like to play, we'd like to give you the gospel. You know, so you come and, you know, we'll
preach. Well, that's pretty much what I kind of said.
Yeah, yeah. But it is interesting.
I wasn't really open to play just doing a show here.
Right.
Because
right.
She liked the way I played the fiddle and, you know, and I liked the way she played the guitar. But I wasn't, I mean, I wouldn't have been comfortable with that.
Oh, she wanted to come do a show?
No, she wanted to, I mean, to me it would be a show.
Right.
And she didn't even want to see what we believed in.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah.
To me that's a show then, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
It's like,
and I'm just thinking, it's kind of interesting how the Lord works sometimes. Sometimes he'll just have somebody show up, and all of a sudden their heart is drawn, you know.
But do they participate in the service? Are they a participant?
Yeah.
Or do
certainly
they,
I wouldn't,
you know?
I wouldn't
mean,
be comfortable with that being the regular pattern.
Playing. I mean, you know, maybe you had picked out some hymns or something that could woo her heart, you know. And
it would be a wicked challenge for me, I think.
It would be a challenge, and it would be a challenge. Something that would need to be walked through.
Were they a Christian? I think I know what you mean. It was kind of we're not sure, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, anyways, it's just we're going to sidetrack.
It's kind of a tricky thing.
Yeah.
With the worship, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Make it clear what we're here to do. You know, that's important. And when, so if somebody comes at odds with that can be disruptive. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, coming, you know, in being, you know, attending the service is kind
yeah.
of one thing, but, you know, actually being a part of the mechanism of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Leading worship. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listening to everyone speak, I mean, do you want an unbeliever leading a part of the worship service unto the Lord? I mean, they only
yeah,
do this, and yet they're. I mean, I suppose one could argue the other way. Say, well, they get to hear the word, and da da da. Yeah, but on the other hand, they're up there in front of the church leading worship, in a sense.
Yeah, I mean,
what part
as a guest one-time thing, I'd be more open to it than as a persistent, regular thing.
Mm-hmm.
As an occasion to share the gospel, you know, an occasion, but. There are the people that go the other way on that, and they say, you know, it's like, hey, go around in the neighborhood and invite people that are musicians to come play at the church, even though they're not believers, because then they'll be hanging out with you, and then we can talk about Christ, and
right.
It's a tool of evangelism.
Right.
I'm not terribly comfortable with that. I mean, not, I wouldn't be uncomfortable playing with them, but not in worship.
Yeah.
They have a contact.
Send them to you anyway.
Yeah. But it's an interesting, you know, it's an interesting challenge. It's not a straight line here. It's difficult to think it all the way through. Now, we want to cultivate, going back to the question, we want to cultivate a mindset of worship. And taking it in a different tact, I talked about this sort of worship dance. You think about all those illustrations. But even the more liturgical form of worship, and by liturgical, it's just another, it's a fancy word for worship order. You know, it's an order for service. I'm going to quote Dr. Perret again in closing here and make a few comments. He says, I did not understand everything that was happening in the Lutheran chapel. Now, to give you the context, he's sharing a story about when he was a young man, about 20, and just came out as his charismatic experience, not quite, but Bible church, freewheeling worship, so he was attending this Lutheran seminary and had to go to chapel, and in chapel he's sharing his experience here. I did not understand everything that was happening in the Lutheran chapel, but I was pretty sure whatever it was not real worship. We prided ourselves on our spontaneity and originality in my church, and how could we realistically pray in a spiritual way things that were written hundreds of years earlier and written by somebody else? How could I do that authentically? How could I corporately confess my sins with people I did not even know? It was a strange experience for me, and for the most part I rejected it. Then came my church history class, which was taught by a wonderful 85-year-old professor who had been a lifelong Lutheran. I do not know how it came up, but in one lecture, suddenly the professor began to quote from memory lengthy passages from the Lutheran liturgy. I recognized them, to some extent, as things that we said in chapel, but I had not been very attentive to them because of where my heart was. The professor quoted these passages from the liturgy at length, and then he stopped, and you could see his eyes begin to well up with tears. He looked toward us, his students in the class, and with his eyes still full of tears, he said to us, "Isn't it beautiful? It's all scripture." As he said those words, I remember the feeling of an arrow piercing my ignorant and arrogant little heart. When I went back and looked at the liturgy again, my eyes were open, and he was right. It was scripture. Most of the Lutheran liturgy that we were reciting in chapel was lifted right from the Psalms, biblical ideas from Old and New Testament. This was scriptural worship. So, you know, it doesn't, again, it's just the substance over style is the point of this principle. Mm-hmm. Substance over style. And I'm not trying, I don't have any particular bone to pick with anybody. I'm not trying to get us to have a looser style or a more formal style. I'm taking the style I have because it's something I'm comfortable with, and I'm trying to provide a way for you to respond to the great things God has done in our worship experience, and I'll continue to try to get better at giving you an ability to respond to the great things God has done in worship. And but it will help us when we don't get hung up on it's got to be this way or it's got to be that way, or on the outside it's got to look like this, or you got to have worship dance, or you've got to never have worship dance and always have recitations over here. We should be Lutherans, darn it. We should open up. You know what? I've pulled things from the Lutheran tradition. I've pulled things from the Episcopal Common Book of Prayers, full of awesome prayers that I have oftentimes lifted and just tweaked and put in my own words a little bit. There's just this wonderful wealth of liturgies out there, old and new. And all they do is they give you an occasion to express back to God the great things he's done. Just going back like to the Lord's Prayer. We're obsessed with God, so any way and every way we can respond to that joyfully with a sincere heart. Well, glory be to God.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we do thank you and praise you for revealing yourself to us and for making us creatures that could express these things in various ways. Would you open up our hearts and minds, and may we continue to learn about how to best express the love you have placed in our hearts back to you. We pray this in Jesus' name.